pastor sent me a message a couple nights ago, and as it is become a habit of mine, I kind of figured, I don't know if the Lord just kind of tells. Can everyone hear me? Okay, I'm using the wireless, and it's Brother Fleming. And I've had a message on my heart tonight, and it's going to be, I have to warn you, for those of you who like to have things very succinct, church has to be a certain way, just forgive me now. It's going to be just a little bit different, but I promise you, I'm in the Word, and I'm promising you, you're going to walk out of here with something. Is that okay? No, you will walk out of here with something, I promise you. I promise you that. You will. I have 30 of them. And they're not dollar bills or $100 bills. But the Lord has given me a word, and I'm excited about doing something a little different. I just feel that we are in the Lord is opening a window. A window of evangelism, a window of healing, a window of being able to do things in for God that's going to blow your mind. Does anyone else believe that? I get one or two. I know it's a Sunday night, and I know sometimes Sunday nights, for those of us who are early risers, Sunday nights for me, sometimes I start looking at the clock because I go to bed at 9:45. And I assure you that tonight we'll be out of church before 9:45. But I want to use a little bit of levity tonight, but yet in a very serious way at the very end, we're gonna pray, and the Lord is gonna give us a fresh burden. Because I think every single service that we come to, we should leave with a fresh burden. We should leave with a fresh burden, because Monday morning, there's situations that we're going to deal with. There's personalities we're going to deal with. There's things on the road with Brother Buckner and I, our horn buddies. Well, I kind of like to use my horn a little bit. I've been using it more often, so much so that my daughter doesn't even say anything about it anymore. For sure, you know, first time, it was like, what happened? Why are you honking your horn? Now she doesn't even acknowledge it. But I am so confident tonight in my Lord and Savior that you are going to leave here with a fresh fire and a fresh burden. Amen? So before we start, now, Brother Sal has been already, I've got 7 text messages. I'm going to give you a text, but we're going to start way somewhere else. Okay? Is that going to be okay? Is this going to be an apostolic? Yes, it's an apostolic church. We're not leaving the message. We're not leaving the faith. But before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us tonight already. God, that the answered prayer, Lord Jesus, that, God, I'm so confident, Lord God. I cannot wait to see Sister Connie here on Easter Sunday. God, I can't wait to hear the reports, Lord God, of those who are not feeling well, that the tumors are being shrunk. God, that the finances are being healed, that the marriages are being healed. Lord God, for the next few moments tonight, Lord Jesus, God, may my lips of clay be anointed, Lord Jesus. God, may our ears be unstopped, our hearts be softened for your word. In your most precious, most holy name, pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we'll hear Pastor Wednesday. We'll hear Pastor Wednesday. We'll hear Pastor Wednesday. Today it's me. In this box, I just want to let you know, I'm taking home is that a DVD player? And I've got some electrical cords and power supply. I don't think Sal's going to mind if I just take it. So I'm just wanting to let you know what's in that box. How many here have heard of the Gold Rush? Gold Rush. Anybody? From... Gold Rush happened. Show us, Brother Sal, that first picture. Gold Rush from the 18... Oh, I better turn off the light. I only have 3 pictures. I'm not doing a PowerPoint. I'm not that... There we go. Gold Rush. Gold Rush. This was a something I got off Google, and this was an advertisement, a document that they would hang up and or nail it to things from New York to California. Get there in half the fun, or getting there is half the fun. And back there in 1848 is when the official start of the Gold Rush happened. And do you remember the state where the Gold Rush was? California. Now, there were a lot of different gold rushes, but there's several in Australia, but the one we're talking about specifically tonight, it was in California. And is this in anybody's Bible? Oh, okay, thank you. That's okay. Thank you. Sweet, I got a Bible. So, we're talking about the Gold Rush. Gold Rush was first, every time I move, the Gold Rush, technically it was from 1848 to 1855, 7 years, where gold was literally found on the ground in California early on. It was scavenged up. They said over 300,000 people came to that territory. Over half of which came from outside the United States, and California at that time was still a territory, and so there was lots of different weirdness going on because laws were different. As you can imagine, back in 1848, they were using actually Mexican laws. Is this anybody's? No? No claim on that? I claim this too. I think Emily's going to like that. It probably was. And so the first gold rush, the first people who discovered gold was James W. Marshall at Sutter's Mill in Coloma, California. And so for 7 years, far and wide, people wanted to get rich. Ever hear of prospectors? Well, first time I'd ever seen anything remotely close to a prospector was at Cedar Point and on the rail ride, the train, and you go through that little village and they have that honky-tonk music and pow, pow, pow. And I was like, what is, I was just a little kid and my dad was like, oh, that, you know, there, it's an old-timey town and there's a guy panning for gold. We had Melvin and Melvin were panning for gold. Didn't we pan for gold that was so fun to do that. And what was the draw? Can I borrow these? Thank you so much. Yes. Keys. Going in my box. Nice. I got a car. Nice. What was the draw to California? Gold. And what was the saying? I have gold fever. We've got gold fever, mama, let's go. And so family upon family would hitch up the wagons and make the trek out there. And unfortunately, more often than not, those who started out there really didn't make it, or they got trapped by the mountains, depending on when they went. And it was also very interesting that those who actually lived in that area were able to stake out that territory a lot faster than those who, let's say, were from India or Australia or perhaps even as far away as New York. Is this anybody's? Is this somebody's? Oh, yes. I got it. Got myself a Bible storybook. I'm claiming this, too. This is mine. And so we have a picture up here of Brother Fleming, Brother Sparks, and Brother Williams. And they're younger. Now I'm just teasing. That, yeah. And these are Brother Rick's before they met the Lord. They knew. That's true. This is just a random picture I got off of Google, and I thought it was funny because here they are, this is a gold mine, or at least they have a pan set up, and look how well-dressed they are. They're wearing a coat, a little bit of a little tie there. They got their everything buttoned up, and the man right there, was he's posed. He's got his hand in his pocket. It's kind of neat. And so that was defined as the gold. No, I won't ask for that. I won't ask for that. No, I'm already in enough trouble. And so some people did make quite a lot of money during the gold rush. Could you imagine finding gold? Even a couple ounces would change your life. I was trying to find the largest piece of gold ever found, and I couldn't get a good picture of it. It was like 2,700 ounces, and I couldn't do the math fast enough because I didn't know how much gold it is, but a lot of money was made. But more often than not, that those who would go, they would go and they would find people already there, already in that little gold territory. And so they would try, because the laws were kind of sketchy. And so what they would do is they would kind of slide in, maybe at night, and set up a little campsite. Wouldn't that be cool to just, I don't really have to form or file form papers with the local government and pay fees and see if someone actually owns the land. I'm just going to set up a camp. I need another songbook for my... Guys, remember what we talked about earlier? I'm learning to take bass. Could you pack up that bass for me? Could you guys do that? It's okay. Yeah, go ahead. Thanks. I'm taking bass lessons, and so I need a bass. And see, the motivation that we had was by gold, and what was gold? Gold was the currency of that day, of that time. And so you were able to buy stuff. I mean, like stuff. Motivation for gold, because then I can come back and I can be a wealthy man. But wouldn't that be neat if you could just go out, Brother Ricks, to your mailbox, you're checking the mail, I don't know when the mail comes, and you look down and you see like a golf ball sized diamond. I'm going on vacation. You know, Brother Schaefer's just digging up in his garden, and this is the time of year that we're starting our gardens, and you see this gem. It's red. It's this ruby. It's about maybe the size of a golf ball, and you look at it, and it looks perfect, and it's worth $1.2 million after you get it appraised. And after you give him the offering, we won't see you anymore, except maybe via email. And I think it would just be neat if I don't know what this is, but it looks neat. If you notice, I just grabbed that straight right out of her purse. It's a nail file of some sort. I'm gonna need that. My nails get brittle. And see, it's all about gold fever. I want stuff. I want more stuff and more stuff. And it would be just so neat if we could just go out and we could just go in our driveways and just pick up off the street. You know, that saying, I heard it all the time. You think money goes on trees? Well, my little one needs shoes. Sorry. Is that bass ready? Could you guys put that down here for me? Now, you packed it up real professional, right? Thank you. Oh, I got a couple things here. Don't tell your dad. That'd be so neat. And I just think that it's great that if money really did grow on trees, I'm setting up a studio in my house. Oh, and there's the other picture of a piece of gold. That's supposed to look like gold, a pickaxe. You'd wonder what that's worth. A lot of money. We'd all retire on that one chunk of gold. You got one of those? Oh, you got a pickaxe. Oh, I was thinking, wow, we're going to have a dinner party at Brother Rick's house. And yeah, I mean, that would be just fabulous. Well, I do want to get to the Word. I promised Pastor that we'd be in the Word. And I want to tell us a story. I have seasonal allergies. Does anyone else have seasonal allergies? I do. I need a lot of Kleenex. Base that. So, this can be found in 2 Samuel. I believe it starts at 2 Samuel chapter 7 all the way through 19. I'm going to tell us a story real quick of, now you have to, I have practiced this word all day. Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, thank you. I promise you I practiced that word. Mephibosheth. Could anyone tell me who Mephibosheth was? Jonathan's son, yes. Saul's grandson. And so King David was coronated and was going through all these things. And David was, again, I promise you, this is in your Bible. You can look it up and verify this. But I want to tell you this story tonight because I found this so fascinating that here's David, and he wants to honor Jonathan, honor his friend. And that is not, no? Maybe someone's catching on. And so as the story goes, David says, I want to give honor to you. And he's crippled. And especially in those times, if you had any sort of handicap, your life expectancy was very low, and you weren't doing a whole lot, were you? You were begging, or you were, unless you were born into a wealthy family. And so here David was, and he just sets him up in a place of honor. And what he chooses to do is restore to him all of the land and all the monies and everything that Saul had. And he just gave it to him. And what a great honor that was given to him. And he also set up this man named Ziba. This man named Ziba had, the Bible says, 15 sons. Personally, I think this is where the motivation for this man comes from, because if I had 15 children in this day and age, but so Ziba was set up to be his servant. And as the story continues, again, read this on your own leisure. There's this great rebellion. David's son Absalom just decides that he's going to rebel, and he's causing discord everywhere in all the different provinces. And he's like, well, let me be your judge, and let me do this, and let me do that. And so this rebellion's going on, and Mephibosheth and Ziba have this conversation, and it says, well, why don't you just stay here? And because of your legs and you can't move, and I'll let David know why you're not with us. And so David encounters Ziba. And Ziba's got all this stuff with him. He's got wine, he's got all these provisions, he's got all this stuff, and he's like, who is this for? And he goes, this is for you. This is for, we're on your side, but where's Mephibosheth? Well, I don't know what to tell you, but he's not here. And David gets angry. And David says, you know what? All that stuff that I gave to him, I did so much for him. I'm paraphrasing. All that stuff I did for him, I restored his land. I gave him honor. I gave him a seat at the king's table. You know what? It's yours. And I can just imagine his eyes just welling up in anger. How could he do that to me? Later, as the story goes, David later is restored, his kingdom's restored, he's mourning over a son, and he comes in with Mephibosheth and says, David's like, why in the world, this is my paraphrase, why didn't you, I need some good notes. Why in the world did you not come and support me? And he's like, David, I give you all the honor. My servant Ziba was supposed to tell you. And he realized what happened. David told him, I gave all your lands back to him. And finally at the end, Mephibosheth says, let him have it. As long as I'm with you, let him have it. That's in the word. Promise you. And so, we have someone who's been deceived out of what was rightfully theirs. Fortune, lands, servants, everything that the man had that was given to him by the king was now gone out of deception. And so to speak, someone came in on property that was rightfully and legally his and squatted on it and said, nope, I'm here. And if you know anything about squatters, especially back in gold rush times, they would do anything they could to get as much of the gold as they could, if they could find any, and then they would just boop, be gone. And boop, be gone. And I tried to get some pictures, but nothing, no, I didn't like anything I was finding about that. But isn't that like how the enemy comes in our life? Isn't that like, just like, we heard some prayer requests tonight about how we have some young men dealing with drug issues and addictions. Here, we are promised to have life and life more abundantly, and yet somehow, some way, as Pastor so eloquently preached this morning, Satan brought the first question mark. Did God really say that? And from that moment on, there has been a conflict between Satan and you to take what's rightfully yours. He staked a claim on your property unlawfully, illegally. He staked a claim into your life. And he's stripping you day by day. He wants to strip you day by day of what's rightfully yours. Your rights are being violated and you don't even know it. As a matter of fact, now watch this. Hey, Joey, could I have your mom's bag? He just gave it to me. Those diapers are too small anyway. She was 3 months old in the womb. My wife was 3 months pregnant. They were too big or too small. And so much is our struggle. This is our struggle. Because if we can imagine walking out into, and this happened to me, we moved in September. I think it was September. We've had so much. Have you ever had like 6 months or 7 months where so much happens it all just becomes like one big glob and you don't remember days or times. But we moved, and I don't think Sophia was born yet, but we moved and it was the fall and I was supposed to rake leaves, and we don't have a lot of, we have trees that kind of circle the back of our yard, but we fortunately we don't have a lot that actually come in the yard. And it's a Saturday afternoon, and I'm doing something inside the house, and I hear this mower. I'm like, oh, the neighbor's out there mowing. It's no big, but the sound gets louder. It's like, it's too loud. It's like she's in my backyard. And I look out, and there was the neighbor. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like a 20-foot strip on the side of our yard that she's mulching up all my leaves. Now, I'm not a green thumb person, but I'm a little territorial. Just a little bit. And this is something I had to fight back, this repulsive, reflexive, oh, what are you doing? And because I think I'm okay with yard stuff, and I don't want my leaves mulched into my grass. And I just, the day before, I just spent 2 hours raking and making sure it was all cleaned up, and here she is. And I talked to her, and I'm putting on a good front, but I gotta admit, my blood pressure on the inside was, I mean, I was just like, and her brother came out, and these are older folks, and she has some issues. Okay, and I'm not trying to be disparaging, but she thought she was doing something nice for me. Her words were, I've always done this. And see, that thought hit me when I was preparing this lesson. What are some things that go on in your life that seem routine that the enemy just always does? It just always happens this way. We always have a family fight. I'm never good with money. My wife and I always struggle with this. Da 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 da. Could it be that the enemy has taken some territory in your life and you've just ceded it over? Because why? He's always been there. It's always been this way. My family's always talked to each other like this. I've always done this. I've always responded this way. It's never going to change. And I'm here tonight to say it's time to start reclaiming some boundaries. I got a hold. We're getting a hold of a surveyor company. You can see the boundaries. You can see the poles. We got to put up a fence. I don't want to be mean, but I like that old adage, good fences make good neighbors. And we have little kids, and I know some folks that have a lot of young boys that may come over this summer and possibly play out in the woods. We all kind of know where we're going right now. We all kind of know we're getting ready to land. But I want to end tonight with this story. And it's a very short story. We were at KSU this week, Tuesday night. We had prayer for cancer. That doesn't make any sense. Prayer against cancer. I'm not praying for cancer. Sorry. Praying for the cure. And I need this. This is, I think, the only thing in the box. This is mine, actually. I'm going to set this aside so no one takes it. And so we were setting up, and I was part of the praise and worship team, and we were getting things set up, and I was just, at the same time I was setting up, I was just trying to get the mind of God, and just trying to, I was nervous, and we didn't know how many people were going to be there, and the sound system, and we had two sound systems going at the same time, and all this stuff, and you know, my wife has had to drive separate, and all these things going on, and I was just praying for peace. You ever been in those situations that, you know, things are getting ready to get started, you're just praying for peace. I'm just praying for peace. Lord God, may there be peace in my heart, I mean, be sensitive. And so the service got started, and it was wonderful. Pastor led us in some great prayer, and we had a singing group come up, and we started worshiping after that. And I don't remember what song it was, and I can't remember what time it was, because there was a big light. The first time I ever been on stage where like there was a big light on you, and I couldn't see anybody. It was just me and the light. And I couldn't hear, and so I'm playing kind of blind, and I'm just hoping everything is sounding right. But then I distinctly can remember. It was as if I could see the campus, and right there, right in the front of the building, there's this big open space. It was as if, I can't say it was an angel, I can't say it was a spirit of any sort, but in my mind's eye, I saw these two hands. Let me get them out. I told you you're going home with something. Had these stakes. Now, this is concrete, so I can't stake this in the ground. But maybe I can get it set up like this. And I saw two hands. And it was, while we were praying, it was as if, we're claiming this in Jesus' name. We were doing something. I don't know what you thought maybe the significance of it was, but when was the last time that meant that many apostolics were on Kent State campus? When was the last time that you ever felt the Spirit of God at Kent State University like we did in that moment? When was the last time you felt the presence of God stronger there than I've felt it in a long time? When was the last time that we had people come in? I might be getting the story wrong because I didn't talk to the gentleman, but somebody said, I've never been to something like this, and I just was crying. I don't know why. I don't cry. And in my mind's eye, while worship was going on, I saw these two hands, and I saw a stake. And it was like, it just, we're claiming this in Jesus' name. And it may not be anything that was powerful for you. You might have not been there and felt it the way I do, or even the way I feel it right now. But we got to start claiming some new territory. Much like the prospectors and the gold fever and the gold rush, there's some territory out there that's free. It's for us. It's called the fields of evangelism. It's, the scripture tells us the fields are white on the harvest. And they're unclaimed. But there's somebody on that other side who wants to claim as much as we do. We have an adversary involved in this. And so I bought these stakes. They're bamboo. Those of you who have gardens, use these to tie up your plants. Use these to do, you know, whatever. Don't beat your grandkids with them. There's two there. Yeah, don't beat your spouse. Yeah. And I wanted you guys to go home with something tonight. And again, this is different. This is not the usual Sunday night. But every time you see these stakes this year in your garden or wherever you end up putting them, I want you to think about a couple things right now. I want you to, as I'm passing these out, are there things in your life? Are there things going on in your life or happening in your life due to someone who's taken territory from you? Are there some family things that keep on happening and keep on happening and keep on, like, you know, every Christmas there's going to be a fight. Every holiday your family gets together, you know something's going to happen. Every time somebody cuts you off, you know how you're going to respond. Yes. But are there some things going on that you need to reflect on? Are there some attitudes? Are there some things that creep up every time brother and sister so-and-so even look my general direction? I just get this feeling. That's your flesh, and that's not of God. I'm speaking to me. I got people I work with all the time. I had to pray through just went up before I deal with them and pray through afterwards because they just rub me the wrong way. And maybe it's not people. Maybe there's certain things that you just struggle with. It makes you normal. It makes you human. There's some people, they just struggle with certain things all the time. You know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. What makes you any different? Why would you expect anything different? And then the other thing I want us to pray about tonight. Is there new territory that you can stake some claim in? We want to stake a new claim tonight? Is there somebody that wants to just be different enough on a Sunday night to pass out stakes and to pretend he's stealing things? Because I'm telling you, what the enemy wants for your life is to have all this cool stuff in his truck, in his basement, selling it on eBay. And the shoes. Well, I'll put the shoes in somewhere else. I understand my audience tonight. You've been faithful to the house. You've been faithful to God for many, many, many years. But you all have seen the effects of sin. You all know what happens when someone just makes that first decision that I don't need to be in service today. I've got this thing and this thing. And it touched my heart this morning when Pastor, he's got his boys in five different teams, but you know what? Sunday morning, we're going to be in church. Wednesday night, we're going to be in church. And we're going to pray here in a little bit. Tonight's different. I don't know what kind of altar service that you want to have. I'll leave it up to you. We're going to have some time in prayer. If you don't want your steaks, give them back to me. I've got some extra if you want some extra. But the Lord has something. I've said it earlier. The Lord has a window that's open right now. I've never been part of anything like it before. I can't tell you what the incredible feeling I had when I left Kent State. And I don't think it's any coincidence that I told my wife this, that there was a shooting the next day. Now, it was a dumb, again, I don't know anything about it, but from what I understand, it was a dumb kid got in an argument over something, shot himself. I don't think that's a coincidence that happened, because the enemy is really upset that someone's on his territory. Kent State University for so many years, it's off limits. It's all those weirdos and all those, well, whatever. And plus, I've been on campus enough. I've seen them. But if we're going to evangelize Portage County, we got to deal with that. We've got to deal with that giant. We've got to deal with that campus. We've got to deal with those minds. We've got to deal with that faculty. We've got to deal with that. And we're here for a reason. And so tonight, I don't really know how to end this well. I'm really good at beginnings. I'm really good at introductions. I'm really good at, but ending it, sometimes I just crash it into the ground. But let's stand, if we could. If you want to leave your stake at your seat, if you want to find a place to pray, whatever you want to do tonight. But I want this church to be victorious. I want to have just more than prayer requests. Than, I want to hear more prayer requests. I talked to this person. I talked to this person. I talked to this person. This person's coming out. Oh, you know, I think it's great. You know, brother, I'll mention this. Brother Fleming has had someone he's needed to baptize. And for two Sundays in a row, something's come up. But you know what? That for two Sundays in a row, that baptismal tank has been warm and filtered and ready to roll. So if anybody on the street came in and wanted to be baptized, we pop the lid, we baptize them. I have a feeling that that's going to be normal. I have a feeling every Saturday night at 11:30, I'm going to be here praying, making sure that you know, Brother Schaefer's going to be here making sure it's warm. It's not normal. A preacher passing out steaks that you're going to put into your garden, and it's not normal, but it's going to take something unconventional in our life to change the patterns that we've been through over and over and over and over and over. And it's Brother Williams, he's getting ready to come up here. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. If you want to gather here at the altar, if you want to pray at your seat, whatever you want to do. But I have a feeling tonight that I want someone to leave here inspired. I want someone to leave here encouraged that what you're going through, you're not by yourself. And that you can take back some of that territory and you can gain new ground. Amen? Amen? Oh, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. God, for your love and for your mercy, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, right now in your name, God, that we can come together, Lord Jesus. God, that we can look at our lives. However, Lord God, it may seem to me on the outside, Lord Jesus, I want you to know, Lord Jesus, I'm taking back territory. God, I'm taking back things I gave up freely, Lord Jesus. I didn't realize the value, God, of things I gave up. Lord God, in your name, I praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.